If you'd like to purchase audio copies of games that we broadcast either this season or in the past on Katy Country 94, give us a call for the details at 545-3220. That's 545-3220.
Inbound play coming for Mason Higer. Rock Hill's looking to get it in. Higer finds Dillard open left side wing. He doesn't shoot. Back to Higer, a three for the tie. Yes, he buried it at the buzzer. We're headed to overtime on the three-pointer from Mason Higer.
Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. 9:32 is our time on this Wednesday, June the 16th, 2021. We are joined now by the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, Toby Rowland. And we appreciate him taking the time because there's a lot that we want to talk with him about today. And we'll begin right off the bat with the fact that Oklahoma's national champions in softball, and that was very, very exciting. As some people come down from cloud nine after that amazing run by the Sooners?
We're still pretty excited around here. Yeah, that was a great season. It was an amazing route that they had to take to win the national championship in the Women's College World Series, to fight back out of the loser's bracket, then to lose game one in the championship, and still find a way to get it done. And that team, I mean, I think it'll go down as one of the great softball teams of all time, and one of the great OU teams, really, of all time in any sport. So, great season, appropriate way, in our opinion, for it to end with them raising a trophy. And no, we're still on cloud nine and probably will be for a while around here.
You referred to the run they had. I mean, I know it was a big story here in Kansas, Wichita State having to go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And Pat Gasso said so many kind things about Wichita State, saying, man, they shouldn't even be here. So you had to fight through that, a very good team. In the regionals and the super regionals. And as you referred to, I mean, you lose your first game against James Madison, so that makes it very difficult. You have to win, what was it, four in a row to get back to the series. Then you lose game one to Florida State. It was almost like Oklahoma was just making sure that everybody got their money's worth and we played as many games as possible.
Get as much exposure as possible by playing as many games as the bracket will allow. So, yeah, they did, you know, they did make it hard on themselves. I think one of the great stories of the tournament for those who watched this year was Odyssey Alexander at James Madison, who they ran into in game one, and she diced them up pretty good, and so fun to watch her. They definitely took the longest path possible in Oklahoma City to get it done, but it did create an unbelievable amount of drama once you're in the elimination mode, and they played six elimination games.
Yeah.
It's pretty nerve-wracking, and that scene was amazing too. And they added all those seats to the stadium there, Hall of Fame Stadium, and so you got 13,000 people watching college softball games. It's one of the really cool environments I've ever been in all of athletics, professional or college. It's a great setting that they've created, and that sport is really on a rocket ship right now in its popularity.
That's where I was going next, the popularity of softball. I know it's big with some high school programs becoming bigger here in our area. And there was some talk, I mean, the fact that it got on ESPN, regular ESPN, was a big deal. There were some people that took some shots at the fact that, well, why isn't this not a primetime game, the championship game three, when it was 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon? But they did have to move the College World Series back because of weather delays in previous games. So I don't know how that all worked out. I think that would have been pretty cool, primetime under the lights for winner take all game three. But the fact that it softball is getting more exposure on a national level, it does seem like softball is growing in popularity. And then the class and the sportsmanship of all the gals playing the sport, I think a lot of people really enjoyed that too.
No, I agree. I call the OU baseball games and love baseball. I'm a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. I'll watch the game today. I love the sport of baseball. But there are some advantages that college softball has over baseball that make it a more appealing product.
Yes.
And I think people are really drawn to it. I mean, the speed of the game, it's a nice, tidy, most days, 2 hours or less package. And those girls, women, are tremendous athletes.
Yes.
And what they're doing is amazing, and the stories behind them, and it's all great. I mean, it's a really the stadium and the format and everything, they've created must-see TV for a week a year. That Women's College World Series is must-see TV, and ESPN needs to be given credit for a lot of that. People around here were not happy that the final game was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but ESPN does need to be given credit for, believing in this event and giving it the stage they have, and then the teams and the players and the coaches have taken it and ran with it.
It was a fantastic event, no doubt about it. Toby Rowland, the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So you have a team that's now the new national champion in softball, and you also are going to get to develop relationships with new head coaches when it comes to men's and women's basketball. That's quite a bit of change in one season, isn't it, on the basketball side?
Boy, it really is. Sherry Cole and Lon Kruger both retired within a two-week span of each other, and that's been traumatizing for us around here. You know, two of the most beloved figures on our campus, and obviously great basketball coaches. So this is going to be a fascinating season. I've had the opportunity to meet Porter Moser and have been extremely impressed with what he has done early in the recruiting world and the transfer portal and the building of relationships on campus and off, and just as a human being. He is a very, very impressive human being and a bundle of energy. I mean, he's 100 miles an hour all the time. So I think he's going to do a great job, and I think Sooner fans are going to, it's not going to take them long to become big Porter Moser fans. I've not had the opportunity to meet our new women's coach, Jenny Baranchek, yet, but I've been told very similar things about her, and she's got big shoes to fill. Sherry Cole is a legend in these parts for what she's done for the last 25 years or so. So it's going to be a new year for Sooner basketball fans to see new faces on the sidelines for the first time in a long time, but it also makes it exciting as well.
Those two changes, those announcements by Coach Cole and Coach Kruger, it seemed to catch a lot of people off guard. What about locally there in Norman? Did it catch a lot of people off guard there too, or was there some inkling that this was coming down for both?
Yeah, I would say it was not something that was being, that was considered necessarily imminent. I think with Coach Kruger, there was always that feeling that, you know, he's getting near the age where, you know, maybe sometime soon we will hear that he's ready to retire. I was surprised that it was this year, just because he is still so energetic and so consumed with watching film and teaching the game and everything that I just didn't feel like, well, he's not yet ready to step away. I think the big thing was with him. The tipping point was his son, Kevin, getting the UNLV job. And so he can, you know, go support him and watch him coach and be with the grandkids and everything. So, yeah, surprising, but not, you know, overly. It didn't knock our socks off that he decided to retire. I would say the same with Sherry. Sherry's younger, but has been doing it for a long time, and the feeling has always been, if Sherry Cole decided to stop coaching, she can do anything she wants. I mean, if she decides today to go into broadcasting, she will be a superstar tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing it a long time, and maybe the day would come sometime in the near future when she decides she's ready for the next challenge in her life. She's got a new grandbaby as well, which is kind of a common theme here. And so that, I would say that was a bigger surprise, though, just because she's a little bit younger than Lon is, but neither one of them were entirely unexpected.
Okay. Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So lots going on, and we haven't even talked about football yet. And that's, of course, people are very excited. Of course, Oklahoma is going to be a top 10, maybe top 5 team again this year, depending on the polls you look at preseason. The favorite likely to win the Big 12 again. Spencer Rattler back at quarterback, Lincoln Riley at coach. And you mentioned something about the transfer portal, and it certainly affects all the sports, and it almost feels like free agency in college athletics. And then there's always the talk of trying to recruit the best players, and Oklahoma's always in on some of the best players in the country. country. And then, of course, last year we had COVID-19, Toby, and so we had limited capacity of fans, and it was just a different type of season. Now it looks like we're going to get back to closer to normal with full capacities at most stadiums. The fans will be back and so forth and so on. Just kind of take us through the roller coaster that has been the last year in sports, and in particular how it's affected athletics and maybe even more specifically college football and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, broad topic, sure. and it has impacted all of us in deep ways, and the world of collegiate athletics certainly is one of those. I think, you know, first and foremost right now, we're all just excited. You know, we're all excited to, it looks like, be on the other side of this mostly, and that we're starting to see crowds come together again. It looks like we're going to have college football as we know it and love it this fall with full stadiums and cheering together as fans. And we made the best of it last year, and it was great. The fact that we could play it all was great. But it was hollow being in half-full stadiums or less than half-full stadiums and all of the restrictions that went along with testing and travel and families not being able to be involved and all that kind of thing. So it was tough. I really, really respect all of the players and coaches who at the amateur level went to the extent they did to make sports happen. I mean, above, way, way, way above and beyond what they are normally asked to do. And I applaud them for that. As for this season, I think there is as much excitement going into this year for this Oklahoma football team as we've had in a long time. I think they have been pointing to this season as their best chance maybe to win a title in a while. They've got, you know, the quarterback coming back when Alabama and Clemson are going to be breaking in some new, and Ohio State are going to be breaking in a new guy. And we all know they've got talented new guys, but there is at least an element of unknown there, whereas Oklahoma feels good about Spencer Rattler at the quarterback position. They've recruited well at the skill positions, as you mentioned, so they've got weapons around there, around him, and they're going to put up points with Lincoln running the show. But the real excitement is about what's happened on the other side of the ball the last couple of years. And Alex Grinch taking over as defensive coordinator has made a big difference. And they were better in year one. They were much better in year two. And it looks like they're on a trajectory to maybe be even better again in year three. They have certainly recruited better defensively. They have bigger, stronger, longer, faster athletes on that side of the ball. Guys who are getting drafted higher and be, you know, interest in the NFL draft where they didn't on that side of the ball so much before. And obviously that's been the issue for them when they have been able to get into the playoff. They've been able to score points, but they couldn't stop Alabama or Clemson or Georgia, whoever they ran into. And now they feel like they're closer to having a defense that can compete on the biggest stage to go along with an elite offense. And you know, we'll see. You got to stay healthy. You got to have some luck. You never know how, you know, things are going to unfold. You have a bad day, one day in Manhattan, Kansas, and the whole thing can come tumbling down. But at least at this point, 80 days away from kickoff, I would say there is as much hope as there's been in a long time that this team could maybe bring home the 8th national championship.
Toby Rowland, voice of Oklahoma Sooners, our guest on the Sports Ticket. You referenced K-State. They've knocked off Oklahoma last 2 years. It was really surprising to go into Oklahoma early in the year with K-State being shorthanded number-wise, and that was a game that I think we had talked about down here, that if you're ever going to pick off the Sooners earlier in the season would be the better way to do it, and that's what ended up happening in that game. I would imagine October 2nd in Manhattan, Kansas is a date that Sooners and even Sooner fans have perhaps circled on the schedule?
Well, there's no doubt. I would, you know, for whatever reason, well, I think the reason, honestly, is obvious. K-State gives Oklahoma problems, you know, more years than not. Bill Snyder or no Bill Snyder. through the years, the style of play that they have has given Oklahoma fits. They shorten the game. They possess the football. They're smart. They play good defense and great special teams. They're going to force you into more turnovers than they're going to commit. And it's not the up-and-down flashy football that Oklahoma likes to play a lot. And it's been feast or famine. You know, there's obviously K-State has won more games against Oklahoma than I think anybody else in this conference the last few years. We have had some years in there where it's been 55-0,
yeah.
You know, or it's been a blowout, and Oklahoma's had the better of it. So that's always interesting for me. It's a really hard matchup to handicap going in because you've got the history of the series, and you're like, guys, you can never take Kansas State for granted. You cannot look at the stars next to their names on the recruiting or how many yards they've thrown for, anything like that. It's a stylistic matchup that just seems to give Oklahoma issues. So, yeah, I think they've circled it, but, I mean, there's also some trepidation there because you touch the hot stove enough and you learn not to touch the stove. And so that's the kind of the case with Kansas State around here. People get really nervous about that game. Home or away, Kansas State plays Oklahoma tough.
Yeah, you're right about that. And now what about week three? Nebraska coming to Norman. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff. And certainly athletic director Oklahoma was not very pleased with an 11 a.m. kickoff. And I know Oklahoma seems to get a lot of those 11 a.m. kickoffs. Why don't we address that, a two-pronged situation here. One, the kickoffs being early for Oklahoma, and because I know that doesn't help in regards to bringing in recruits to take in the whole day when it's an early game. And then two, just the fact that Oklahoma and Nebraska are going to play again.
You know, it's the 11 a.m. thing is, excuse me, it's kind of a running topic around here for the last several years. It just seems to be getting a little bit worse now that Fox has added this big noon kickoff. It is a first world problem because they want Oklahoma in their big game a lot, and that's great. But a lot of times that has tended to be at 11 o'clock in the morning. And while it is fantastic to have that showcase and that platform, it's also for home games anyway. I don't think anybody cares on the road. But for home games, it's less than ideal. You mentioned the recruiting aspect of it, and that's part of it. But more, I think it's about the fans and the game day experience and the vendors and all of the small retail stores that kind of build their business around Oklahoma football. You know, the campus game day experience is not the same at 11 o'clock as it is for a primetime game. And it hurts everyone. It hurts the city of Norman. It hurts the businesses that depend on the University of Oklahoma. And it certainly the fan base doesn't love it either. So it's a little bit of a hard thing to complain about because, you know, the reason that they're playing at 11 most of the time is because it's a big-time game and they want to put it on a big platform. So that's hard to complain about that. But for this game in particular, being the 50th anniversary of the game of the century,
yeah,
being the return of one of the great rivalries in college football, this is exciting for us. And it's exciting for Nebraska, and I think it's exciting for college football.
Mm-hmm.
I know Nebraska hasn't been their old selves lately, but just getting these programs back together is very cool. It's very, very cool. And they were hoping for a primetime slot. I think they've got a statue unveiling maybe that's going to take place, and there's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance. They're bringing back a lot of guys that played in that game 50 years ago, and you know, a lot of coaches that were involved. It's going to be a big deal. And it's just, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning takes a lot of the sizzle out of it.
No,
so
I agree with you.
That stinks, but it's still going to be a really neat day.
I agree with you. And for me personally, driving down to go Oklahoma game, the afternoon slot's the best, like if you want to go down and come back in the same day. But the evening,
yep,
the evening atmosphere, because I've been to games at 11 and at 2:30 and at 7 or 6, the evening thing, though, is just, it is a different, it's just different. There's no really good way to explain it other than you have to experience it. It is just different. It's the same way when you go to a Chiefs game, you go to a Monday night or a Sunday night football game at night for the Chiefs compared to a noon kickoff. It is just different.
There's an electricity in the air before kickoff even happens for those primetime games.
Yep, I agree with you. Biggest challenger at Oklahoma in the Big 12 this year, if you had to choose one, who do you think is the biggest challenger? Of course, Texas has a new head coach in Steve Sarkisian, and that's always, of course, an unbelievable rivalry when you speak of rivalries. But who's the biggest challenger to Oklahoma in the Big 12 this year in your estimation?
I mean, I think you have to say on paper it's Iowa State because of they got everybody back. I mean, they got Brock Purdy back. They got Charlie Kohler back. They got Breece Hall back. I mean, they got that team that beat Oklahoma last year and gave them a really good test in the Big 12 championship game is all back. So I think you have to say that. We never take Texas for granted around here, and I'm certainly intrigued to see what the new coaching staff and style is going to look like and everything. And that might be the right answer at end of day. But going into the season, I think Iowa State's got a top 10 team. And maybe higher than that. Their problem has been they tend to trip up in one of these early games against the Northern Iowa, or they can't beat Iowa. If they can get through the first two or three weeks of the season, then that OU-Iowa State game near the end of the year this year could be a really special, it has the potential to be a top 10 or maybe even top 5 matchup.
Yeah, and that game will be in Norman on November the 20th. All right, Toby Rowland, the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners, I guess, on Sports Ticket. Time for off-the-wall questions. It's a two-part off-the-wall. Your first job, because I was asked this recently, what was your first job? My son is 14, going to be 15 next month. He's had his first actual where he receives a paycheck job. So it's kind of been interesting. There's a little bit of excitement, maybe more for mom when he gets his first paycheck than even for him. So I was asked, what was my first job? And I remember that. What was your first job overall? And then the second part of that, what was your first radio job?
All right, my first job overall was technically mowing lawns. I mowed lawns for money in high school. My first job where I got a paycheck, when I was in college, I put together furniture at a local furniture store in Bethany, Oklahoma. I would work in the back room and put together all the furniture for them to sell on the floor. I hated it. I was only there for like 3 months, and I said, I can't do this anymore. So that would be my answer to that. My first radio job, I started in college, my senior year at college, calling games for Southern Nazarene University. I was on the basketball team there, but I stunk. And my coach knew what I wanted to do as a profession. And so he said to me, in not so many words, if you will give us the scholarship back that we're wasting on you as a basketball player, we'll give you some money to start a sports information department and broadcast our games. And I said, that sounds like a great deal. It requires much less sweat on my part.
Sure.
And so my senior year in college, I got to start calling games for Southern Nazarene.
So you were paid off to get off the team. You were paid to get off the team is what you're telling me.
100%. I was. It was an addition by subtraction for the Southern Nazarene basketball program. Yes.
At what age did you know that you wanted to be in radio or in media? Like for me personally, I think I knew it when I was honestly 11 or 12. I would be out on the basketball court, out on the farm, calling play-by-play, and my mom came out and thought I had mental health issues because I was talking to myself and acting like I was Jordan or Bird or Kareem or Magic or whatever. At what age did you feel like, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do?
I mean, I don't think it dawned on me till I was a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm. I think as I look back, it was always kind of meant to be. I was the same. I was addicted to radio, especially. I loved listening to games on the radio growing up. Mm-hmm. Baseball, basketball, football, anything. I had the Walkman, and I'd listen in everywhere I went. And I would act it out and call. But at the time, I didn't say, well, this is what I want to do as a profession. When I was in college, I was an accounting major, and my sophomore year, the realization started to set in, is this really what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
And my dad said, well, what would you love? And I said, I think I would love to be one of those broadcaster guys who gets paid to go to ball games for a living. And that's when I started that career path pursuit. But I don't think it really dawned on me till then that I want to make a living out of this. But in hindsight, I think it was probably always meant to be.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, you do a wonderful job. We appreciate the time. We'll probably talk to you again here in a couple months as we get closer to football season. Toby, always a thrill to have you on the show. Take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your summer and stay cool, man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good summer.
Toby Rowland, voice of Oklahoma Sooners, to guest today on the Sports Ticket.